Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Morning. I feel like I was being talked to when it was talking about like the 72nd time here. So feels like that's this is my home away from home. So I feel good about that. Not sure how you feel. Let Corbin know. But I'm happy to be here. My name's Tim Walk. I'm a financial advisor. Before that, I was a pastor for 15 years. Have my degree in Bible and theology, and so I love having these kind of conversations. I feel like I'm that middle school kid that's lying about having a girlfriend. I met her at summer camp. She lives in Canada. You're not going to see her. But that's my family at this point. They were supposed to be here today. Had some soccer challenges because, you know, like fields are flooded and stuff, so it messed up our schedule a little bit. So they couldn't be here today, but I promise you they exist. They're real. You may not be able to tell, but like the stress of having a family is real. Trust me, I would look and feel much different if I didn't have a family with the stress that comes with the family. And we'll talk about that a little bit here. I turned 40 about 4 months ago. You don't have to woo that. I turned 40. I can't do some of the things I used to do. 40 is, I don't know what happened at 40, but there was a software update that came in, and there's just some things that are no longer in the app store. I had a buddy who was just like, hey, you know, we play basketball, you know, you should come hang out with us sometime. I was like, full court? You serious? I haven't played defense since my 20s. I'm certainly not going to run up and down full court on these knees. No way. I can't play full court basketball anymore. I can't give directions. I've learned that because my dad is old and he doesn't believe in or uses GPS. I don't know. The birds are trying to get him. I don't know. Either way, he can't use GPS. So he asked me for directions to my kid's soccer game. And that's when I realized it's been about 20 years since I gave someone directions, right? Because anyone else, it's just like, oh yeah, we go to church at Life Change Church. And then you expect them to Google it. That's all you have to do. Hey, we're going to all have lunch at the Pizza Hut in Heath. Oh, okay. You assume that they could figure that out. Now, not my dad. It's like, hey, Dad, the kids are going to be on field 7 at the soccer field across from the Westerville Rec Center. My dad's like, great, how do I get there? And I said, from where you live, 270 is involved. I'm not sure which way, but you should just do a couple laps on 270. You want to get off Route 3? Which light do I turn at? You better turn when it's green. I know that. You'll get lit up in the neighborhood app if you don't turn on a green light. I was like, what's the neighborhood app? I'm like, forget that. I'm sorry I brought that up. And I just don't have that skill anymore. I was trying to give them landmarks, and I realized like all my landmarks are really like they just move very quickly. So I was like, turn right at the cat. You'll be there, I swear. And I lost that skill. And it's a real shame because we all need that skill, not necessarily for physical directions because we have light. We have our smartphones, we have GPS, but we need directions in life. That's constantly what we're doing. Matter of fact, that's my entire job. My entire job is giving people financial direction. They come to me and say, hey, I want to retire at this point in my life. I want to retire with this amount of money. My job is to map that out for them and say, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. You need to probably spend a little bit less, save a little bit more. But here is a path to get to where you want to go. We have the ability to give people direction financially. We have the ability and need to give people direction relationally. My wife and I, we've been going through The Office and Seinfeld. And it occurred to me, I was like, man, 75% of these episodes are all based on people having a relational situation and doing the worst possible thing in that context, right? It's George not hearing what his manager said, and in spite, you know, the simple thing would be like, hey, this is embarrassing, but I actually didn't hear you because you went in the bathroom and I didn't hear you. So what is that project that you want me to work on? Instead of doing that, he comes up with the scenario, which is the worst possible scenario, and it's 30 minutes of ha-ha. What he needed was a relational direction. And what he needed was relational guidance in that situation. We need that. We're giving that to people, right? How much of our conversations about, hey, you know what? I think you should really do this in that scenario. I think this person's not hearing you about this, or I don't think that person understands you. Maybe you're not seeing eye to eye. Oh, that's most of our conversation, is giving each other relational direction. We need physical direction. I do. I turned 40. This thing ain't working like it used to. In my 20s, I could eat 4 Big Macs, play 8 hours of basketball, finish the day like a hummingbird. I look at a donut now and a goiter grows on the side of my neck, okay? Like this thing, it's different. Whatever software update at 40, don't get it. Don't use it. But so I'm actually having a conversation with a trainer and nutritionist. I was like, listen, how do you not feel tired at 10? Like that's my goal. Not a six pack. I just don't want to need a nap 5 hours after waking up. Could we get there? I need direction physically. I need direction. I need guidance. I need someone to walk with me through that. And we need to be able to receive direction spiritually. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here. Because we want to know a little bit more about Jesus. Maybe want to get closer to him and be more like him. So how do we get there? What are the steps that we need to take? What are the turns that we need to make to get closer, to be more like Jesus? Good news is, we're not the first people to ask that question. Matter of fact, the disciples asked Jesus that question. And it came out after a critical moment. There was a Mount of Transfiguration. This is a moment where Jesus is having an interaction with God the Father. He interacts with the patriarchs of the faith. Moses and Elijah appear to him in a way that the disciples recognized it. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have trading cards to recognize, like, oh, yeah, that, the beard, that's Moses. Somehow, God made it abundantly clear who Jesus was interacting with. This is a powerful moment in time. God's audible voice was spoken. I know if you grew up in church, we like to, you know, make Peter the butt of most jokes. But Peter said something that was profound that proves his understanding of the moment in Scripture. He was like, we should build tabernacles. We should build a monument to this. Why? Because that's what happened in the Old Testament when people had similar interactions with God. Oh my goodness, we need to name this place Bethel because God was here. That was Peter's assumption because of how incredible this moment was. Jesus' physical form changed in a way that was visible to our natural senses. I don't know about you. I grew up in church. I've had a lot of experiences with God. I never came out looking physically different. I had life-transforming experiences with God, and I didn't glow. This is what they experienced with Jesus. So they asked a very reasonable question. How do we get there? Matter of fact, it was such a reasonable question that is what a disciple-apprentice relationship should look like. Because that was the culture of their day. If you were working as a disciple under an apprentice, under a carpenter, the expectation was you're going to take on that role and be able to do the exact same things the master was teaching you. So the assumption in this relationship, as disciples to the rabbi, they were going to be able to experience the same thing the rabbi experienced. They experienced it with the rabbi, and they're like, when does that happen to us? How do we get there? Give us some direction. So that's where we're going to pick up the story, because what they are essentially asking is, how could we be great like you, Jesus? How do we get there? Give us direction. What are the next steps so that we could be great like you? We're going to pick up the conversation, Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What are the qualities of the type of person that could be the greatest? Because we think you're the greatest. Obviously, based on that experience, this question was asked the following day after the Mount of Transfiguration. How could we get there? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Unless you become like this little boy, this little gal, you're not going to experience what I experienced. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of the child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. You want more of what you just saw yesterday? You need to become like this kid. And whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me. You heard what God said about me yesterday. If you want that, you not only become like this kid, but you welcome more children like them into the conversation. Mark picks up this story. Mark is a very interesting take on this because most scholars believe John Mark actually wrote this out, but this was Peter's telling of the Gospels. So Peter is telling Mark what to write down. Mark is transcribing it because Peter at the time was an illiterate fisherman. So Mark is actually transcribing the Gospel of Mark, which is truly the Gospel of Peter. So this is Peter's account of that exact same story. Let's pick it up. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 through 37. "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first among must be the very last and the servant of all.' He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" You're not just welcoming me into this. You're welcoming God into this conversation, into this relationship, into your life. You want to be great like me, you welcome the little children. Two highlights here I want to focus on. Go back one verse, sorry. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. We assume greatness. We kind of put a simile with greatness, a synonym with greatness is fame. Who's the greatest in any particular field? It's probably the person who's also the most famous. Right? Who's the greatest investor of all time? It's probably Warren Buffett. Well, it may not be, but Warren Buffett's the most famous. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? You know, it's going to be Jordan, LeBron, someone. It's going to be the most famous. Jesus is separating that out. You see, you got the wrong simile there. It's not about fame. If you want greatness, you got to be the servant. You got to be the one that lifts everybody up. You might not be seen. You might not be recognized in this lifetime. That's who is the greatest in my kingdom. And then, and this is where we're going to focus on for most of our conversation today, verse 37, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. You want to be great in the kingdom? You want directions? You want the next steps to get to where you're asking to get to? Be the one that welcomes children. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I just help each and every one of us understand these words as we explore the concept and the idea of welcoming literal and spiritual children into your home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is not a prerequisite for Christianity, okay? Just a heads up, you could be saved and get to heaven and not necessarily do what we're talking about today. Why? Because this is a different conversation. This is a conversation how to be great like Jesus. That's the conversation the disciples were asking. How could we be great like you? Who is the greatest among the kingdom? And Jesus laid it out. Whoever welcomes the little children. Whoever welcomes the little children. This is incredibly challenging. And it's challenging to us. Because the challenge Jesus is laying out there is like, you want to be like me? You want to be transformed like me? You want to experience what I experience? You got to be the type of person that welcomes literal and spiritual children into your life. That's a challenge. That's a challenge that we're going to look at. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Because what are we doing when we're welcoming literal and spiritual children into our lives? We're inviting a mess. We got to prepare the place if we're going to do that. Dumb and Dumber's on Netflix. I'm going somewhere. That's just the introductory sentence. I'm going somewhere with that. And I remember I memorized that movie line for line as a sixth grader. It's still stuck. Like, I don't know what part of the pie chart that is, like, filling up that part of my brain, but I could tell you line for line, Dumb and Dumber, okay? So I thought in my brain, my son is in sixth grade. This movie is going to be completely appropriate for father-son time. We're 45 minutes in, my wife's like, turn that off. And my son's like, oh my gosh, you watched that? And I was like, I watched it like 37 times, dude. Like, I know this. My son was like, oh my God, Dad, where's Grandpa Fred? I had no supervision, okay? Like, this was all on my, I think I bought the VHS myself, okay? Like, this was all on my own. What I forgot was the appropriateness level because he's a child. And I wanted to do something that's fun for me, and I invited him into that space, and I realized, oh my gosh, that's not appropriate for him. What Jesus is asking us to do is prepare the place for both spiritual and literal children. Literal children meaning we need to change the conversation if we're going to have a real conversation with our kids. It needs to be a conversation about what they need to hear and what they want to hear, not necessarily what we want to say. And that's true at home and in this house. And if it's true with literal children, it's probably true with spiritual children. It's probably true that we probably need to be having different conversations. And that leads to the second thing that we need to do. We need to prepare the space, but also we need to prepare our expectations. Don't we have different expectations with kids? Like, all right, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Like, we don't snap, we shouldn't snap at our kids when they ask a dumb question, right? Because they're kids. Yet we get so annoyed with the colleague. It's just like, oh, all right, you attached a document before you send the email, okay? Like, we get so frustrated with colleagues, but we talk differently with kids. We're just like, oh, you know, can you put your cup away for the millionth time? What's going on there? It's just level of expectation. We have a different expectation for children than we do adults. That's fine. But here's how our generation, the last 30 years, why they've become unchristian. This is the number one, I'm convinced of this. If you're wondering how we lost an entire generation, it's because the church expected unbelievers to act like unbelievers and condemned them when they did. How can they talk like that? How can they think like that? How could they vote that way? How can they do these things? Because they're children. They don't know. They haven't been transformed by the gospel. They haven't had their mind renewed. So of course they would do these things that would be offensive to us. But it's because they're children. And if we are going to be like Jesus, we must welcome the children. And you know what that requires of us? To change our expectations. To be willing to be open to that. To not judge them for doing what they only know to do. For them saying what they only know to say. For them thinking the only way. That's how we lost an entire generation. The only way to win them back is to do what Jesus is asking of us. Let's welcome children. And that requires us to shift our expectations. Here's what else it requires of us. It requires of us to give without getting. I bet you had a moment with your parents that they took you somewhere and you hated it. And later realized, oh, that was because it was for them. That family reunion, oh, that was for them. That wasn't necessarily for me. And your best memories are your parents is when they took you on an experience that was for you. Oh, we're going to go to Disney World because this thing is for you. Parents are going to be hot and miserable and broke. But this experience is for you. Same thing with literal children, same thing with spiritual children. We have to have the expectation that this thing is for them. And you know what? I want to applaud this church. You did an amazing job. Corbin and I hang out often. We were talking about Easter. Man, four services packed to the brim. And I still see it when I come in here to speak, that you guys park in a certain way so more people could come into the building. You do all these sort of things. You come to an early service or you go to a late service to make it work out. You volunteer multiple times. That is awesome. You know what you're doing? You're preparing a place for the children. You're welcoming the children. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Here's the next. You want to be more like Jesus? Right? You want to be more like Jesus. You want to be great like Jesus. Here's what that requires of you. You got to do it 52 more times. Becomes a weekly thing. That Sunday is our day to give. That Sunday is our day to give. We give of our finances. We give of our time. We give of our energy. And we give of our focus. We give of our relational expenditure or energy. We give on Sundays. That's what's required of us. And I thought, like, as a former pastor, I was like, when I stepped away from ministry, I was like, thank God I'm done with that season. I'm just going to go on a hill and read a Bible by myself. Like, that's it. And I'll be honest with you, doing that would make me happy. It wouldn't make me more like Jesus. Because we need people around us to challenge us to be more like Jesus. It is easy to be patient, to be loving, to be forgiving on a hill by yourself reading a Bible. I'm crushing it with the fruits of the Spirit when my kids aren't around. Awesome. But when my kids are around and just nonstop gibberish, and then soccer schedules are getting changed, and work schedules are getting changed, that's the time that I actually become like Jesus. By giving, by sharing. Last point on here. What are you doing when we're welcoming a child? We clean up the messes. I know when my neighborhood kids come over to my house and play with my kids in the backyard, because my backyard looks like Detroit. There's just bottles everywhere. A burned out car, not my car. A Lions fan. It's ridiculous. I know when I have kids at my house. I can hear it pulling up. Oh my gosh, 14 bikes in the front yard. I am going to walk into a mess. And I'm privileged for that. Because my kids are 12, 10, and 6. And I know one day I'm going to drive home from work to a quiet and clean house. And I'm going to be sad that day. Church, we don't want to drive in on a Sunday morning to a quiet, clean house. Amen. That means the life is gone. I know it's messy. I know it's messy when we're taking care of literal kids. Right? I know how many wipes you guys go through after. It's like all the snot-nosed babies go out and you're like, all right, yeah, he did great. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's true with children. Hey, it's true with spiritual children. It gets messy. And that's a good thing. Church should be messy. Matter of fact, if you don't have any relational messes around you, that's a problem. It means you're either avoiding the messes or the messes are avoiding you. Either way, it's not good. And that's fine. If you want to get to heaven, you could do that. You could still be a Christian and do that. Not going to be like Jesus, though. You want to be great like Jesus, it requires you to be in the messes and understand and have expectations of the messes. Relational messes. People that are messy. That's what we should have. We should have multiple divorces going on in this church. We should have multiple rehab stints going on in the church. That's the messes. And if we're not that, then we're not welcoming the type of people that Jesus is wanting us to welcome. This is a challenge today. Anytime when you're giving directions, you could give directions and a person receiving them has a choice to follow them or they don't. When I'm giving financial directions, I'd say, hey, you're not on track for retirement, but if you do X, Y, Z, you could get there. Do you want to do that? Do you want to sacrifice for that? If so, this is a path that will take you there. Jesus is laying the same thing out. If you want to be great, welcome to children. It's going to cost you. But I didn't bring this up. You brought this up. You want to be great? You want to have those kind of mountaintop experiences? This is what it requires of you. And here's the great news. It could be transformative. I want us to imagine that. I don't have the band come up. Just imagine what this will look like. Imagine a place where spiritual and literal children are welcome. You know what's going to happen, first of all? It's going to be messy. It's going to be absolutely messy. Probably the structure of ministries will need a change. But it worked. Yeah, it did. Some of my parenting worked when my kids were four, but now they're 12, 10, and 6. It has to change. It's going to be required of us too. It's going to be a mess. You know what else it's going to be? It's going to be loud. I could tell when kids are at my house. I could tell I'm not going to be able to read. It's going to be loud. But you know what? That's where the life is. It's going to be loud here. But that's where the life is. That's what we want. It's quiet in a museum. It's quiet in a graveyard. There's no life there. We want life here at Life Change. It's got to be loud. It's going to be messy. It's going to be loud. You know what else? It's going to be exhausting. Ever been around a person that's a stay-at-home parent? They're like so happy to have an interaction with someone that's an adult. Let me tell you about my day. Why? Because giving and giving and giving is exhausting. It is. Being around kids is exhausting. My wife was a third grade teacher, so I'd go and volunteer with her on occasion. I would have to nap after every session. 26 kids, 26 third graders. That is exhausting. Literal and spiritual kids, serving them the way that and the needs that they require, it's exhausting. I would love to see the increase of naps here at Life Change. Why? Because you're giving yourselves to what God's asking of you. You know what else? It'll make you more like Jesus. I'm telling you, I would be so happy just reading books, sitting on a hill. But I'm not going to be more like Jesus that way. I think it's so interesting that Jesus and the entire Christian faith is about crucifying our flesh. Crucifixion is an execution that requires other people. Other people have to come and crucify you. You can't crucify yourself. You want to be more like Jesus? You want your flesh crucified? It requires to be around other people. It requires those moments of being hurt, being offended, being misunderstood, being judged. It's literally required. We're not supposed to escape it. We're not supposed to clean up the area and sterilize the area around us so we don't have to experience that. Again, if there are no messes around you, that's a problem because you're either avoiding a mess or the messes are avoiding you because you're not the type of person that could be trusted with a mess. This is what's required of us. It'll make you more like Jesus. And lastly, it'll bring heaven to Newark. What a great opportunity for us. And I think this is what that is what this church is called to. That this will be a sanctuary. This will be a space I could show people who are a mess, who are immature, who are childish, the kingdom and love of the Father. What do you get out of that? You get to be more like Jesus as a result. So anytime someone gives you directions, you have a choice. You can listen to those directions or you can ignore them. So let me pray for you as we close. Jesus, I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you change and transform our lives. And by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not my creativity, not by any kind of sense of guilt, but a sense of conviction that if we are truly serious about becoming more like you, becoming great like you, we will embrace what is required of us in messy relationships. In church, I am convicted of this as much as anyone in this room is. I'm so tired of messes. I am. We should all be over this by now. We've had this conversation before. But I need to be more like Jesus. So come on this journey with me. Holy Spirit, help us embrace the message, have an attitude of a servant, to welcome the children. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.